Hey, you guys, welcome to episode 54 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm laughing right now because I hear Chris in the other room trying to give Channing a bath while I'm in here trying to record my podcast. This is real, folks. This is as real as it gets. Real mom in Hollywood. I want to tell you that this episode is sponsored by Up4 Probiotics. If you've ever been curious about trying probiotics or finding a way to get healthier from the inside out, I can't recommend Up4 enough. It's something we use here in our family. I've even used the kids' cubes. They have a specific formula for kids, and it's helped Channing tremendously with her stomach issues and her dietary issues. So definitely go to your local Target store where you can find Up4 Probiotics. They're in the vitamin section or the essentials section. And check them out. Check out Up4. They've made, like I said, a tremendous difference in our lives. And also you can find them online at up4probiotics.com. They have been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. So you know what you're getting has been tried and tested, and they've been clinically researched for 40 years, you guys. So you know what they're bringing to the table. You know it's good. Go right now to up4probiotics.com or your local Target store and find out how you can start creating a happier inside.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, you guys, welcome again to Motherhood in Hollywood. My guest today is the very funny comedy duo. They're a musical comedy duo called Mommy Tonk. Stacey Burrows and Shannon Noel come to my studio, aka my dining room table, and they sang for me, they made me laugh, and they talk about their upcoming concert tour. In fact, they're in the middle of their tour right now, and they talk a little bit about that and share some of the songs, a little teaser, if you will, for their shows. So it's a lot of fun. It's so awesome to meet other moms who are performing and they're doing comedy. And what's great about Mommy Tonk is that they have sort of taken a unique spin on the mom comedy world. Like, there's mommy bloggers like crazy. There's moms who are making memes and GIFs. And, you know, every mom, I think, who's doing mom stuff is trying to find their angle. And the Mommy Tonk gals have their honky tonk mom songs. They've got the market cornered for sure. You guys are going to love their music and love hearing the story about how they came together. It makes me wish I had like a mom wife. Mom friend, you know, like your mom wife, because they're so close. That's what's great about their friendship, is they're so close. And I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to say anything else. You guys can just hear it from them directly. So what else is happening in Motherhood in Hollywood land? I keep saying I'm going to do all of these new and exciting things, and then I keep forgetting to do them because I just get so bogged down and so busy during the week with Chan and with my other responsibilities. Auditions are picking up again. Thank you, Jesus. There's something very validating for an actor. Like, I was feeling the major blues earlier this week. I hadn't had an audition in a while. And you start to kind of feel like it's just all performers, I think, in some way. You kind of start to feel like, nobody likes me, I'm never going to make it. And you get the blues, you know, and then you get that call, you've got an audition tomorrow. And it's suddenly like, oh, yes, I get to go perform. Sure, it's only three lines, but damn it, I'm going to take those three lines and I'm going to act the shit out of them. And that's what I did. So yay, it was a lot of fun. And it was a good audition, but you know, whatever. I mean, of course, I think every audition I do is great. And yet here I sit being amazing in my podcast studio. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about me. I want to really quickly say hello to a few new followers over on Twitter. Julie Howe, thank you so much, at Julie Howe Writer, for following me on Twitter. Rhiannon Gillis, I hope I'm saying your name right. Rhiannon Gillis, Who else do I want to say hi to? Mary Logan, Anna Nash Steer. Thank you guys so much for finding Motherhood in Hollywood at MIH Podcast on Twitter and giving me a follow, Appreciate ya. There's so much happening in this episode today that I'm going to keep my mommy monologue short because I want to get right into the interview with these ladies and let you guys hear their music, hear more about their relationship and their friendship together. I do want to mention really quickly, I just posted a new article over on Huffington Post. If you don't know, I also write for Huffington Post and also mom.me. I'm working on some things for mom.me as well. And occasionally I update my own blog. I feel like I give so much attention to other blogs that sometimes I forget that I also have a blog myself and I enjoy writing. I'm just so hard on myself as a writer. I really just, every word to me is so precious and I'm like, I can't let other people read it because what if they hate it or they think I'm stupid or I, you know, misspell something. So I just need to start letting things go a little more when with my writing. I'm just going to take a deep breath and just put words on my blog and let it go, right? That's what it's all about. We're just going to hang it out there, see what happens, and start letting it go a little bit more. So if you get a chance, go read my writings on motherhoodinhollywood.com. It's where I'm posting all my feels, all the feels, as well as some fun stuff about, I don't know, just whatever's happening in entertainment, whatever I feel like posting about, basically, is what it is. All right, so I'm going to go and see how bath time is going because I hear Chris helping Channing in the other room getting ready for bedtime. So I'm going to let you listen to the interview I did with Stacy and Shannon from Mommy Tonk, and there are swears, so don't listen with the kids. Well, I'm just going to call you. I'm going to call you Shannon and Stacy.
Yeah.
From Mommy Tonk.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Perfect.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Good. I mean, we're a musical comedy duo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've heard your stuff. Let's not get overconfident about the comedy.
No. Right. Exactly. We are a duo. We are a duo. We're great friends.
So you guys, as you can hear, I'm already having so much fun goofing around with the moms from Mommy Tonk. Do people say Mommy Tonky?
Oh, I like that. No, people say Mommy Talk, and we're like, no, it's Mommy Tonk, like honky tonk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I like Mommy Tonky.
I was typing it in my computer, and I wrote Mommy Tonky, and I was like, that doesn't look right, and it was giving me a spelling error. So then I was like, oh, I'm sure other people do this. Clearly not. Clearly it's just me. I'm really excited because I see a guitar in my presence, which I'm really hoping you guys will play a little something-something.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get started, let's talk about how Mommy Tonk came to be.
All right.
Just the origin story of this duo.
Well, Stacy and I met doing a show called Expressing Motherhood. Mm-hmm. I know you've had Lindsay Cavett on the show. We love her. We call her our birth mom.
Yeah.
We both submitted individually about 8 years ago to Lindsay's show in Hollywood, Expressing Motherhood. And we both got accepted, and we did two separate pieces. I did a comedic character monologue piece, and Stacy did a stand-up piece. And we can...
Yeah, well, so the rehearsal, I'd never met Shannon before, but she walks on stage, and she's wearing nothing but a breast pump and pajama pants. And then she delivers the most expert comedic monologue about how angry she is at the UPS guy for ringing the doorbell right after she's laid her newborn baby down for a nap. And I thought they were going to have to call the EMT on me because I was laughing so hard. And, you know, it was just magic. And I thought, well, I don't know who this woman is, but she is now my best friend. And I'm going to stalk her.
I love that. Yeah. I love that you guys sort of had that instant connection immediately. Because I'll tell you, it's hard out there for a mom. Because it's hard to find another mom who shares your sensibilities and who isn't a little crazy, you know, and also kind of gets your humor, especially if you guys are funny gals, you know, it's hard to meet somebody else who gets your humor.
Well, I will speak to that in that it was very interesting that most moms you meet them through your children. The children are the conduit to the relationship. But in our experience, our kids, well, one of your kids wasn't even born yet. We didn't meet through our children. We met as two women who just happened to be mothers. And that has made a huge difference, I think, because we saw each other primarily as Shannon and Stacy, two funny women, not, oh, you're so-and-so's mother.
You're so-and-so's mom.
And so it really defined our relationship so differently than the other moms that you meet from a school or a preschool or something like
that. Yeah, that's interesting because I have found, I think that's a good point because whenever I meet moms, or other women, it's usually like out in the comedy scene or, you know, out at a sketch show or something. And I'm like, oh, hey. And then it comes up later. Oh, you have kids, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I mean, it really was like love at first sight because at the same rehearsal, Stacey walked on stage with a baby monitor saying that she hoped that the baby monitor had the range that the box said it did because her babysitter had flaked and she had left her kids like 2 miles up the street. And I was like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And then she went on to just do this amazing stand-up set, which I was so impressed with that it's giving me chills right now. Mm. And literally, I was like peeing my pants with laughter. And same thing as she's saying, I was like, well, this is my new best friend. And what you're saying about meeting moms, the next week was my oldest son's first birthday party. Mm-hmm. And my mom was in town and I'm getting ready to throw his party. And I was like, Mom, you know, there's this girl. We became really good friends backstage at the show and she's the funniest person. I really want to be friends with her. So it's like I had to kind of date.
Yeah, you do.
I was like, can I invite her to this birthday party or is that just weird? Is she going to think I'm weird? She has two boys. I have a boy and another one in my belly. Mom's like, no, invite her. So I emailed Stacey and like, I know this is weird, but would you want to come to my son's first birthday party? There'll be beer there. And literally within like a second, she's like, yes, where is it? Tell me where it is. We're going to be there. And from that minute on, we were like connected at the hip. Basically.
I think that is so special. And it's honestly so hard to find another mom, another woman, honestly, just another woman that you connect with comedically. Mm-hmm. That's something I've talked a lot about on this show is finding a writing partner, finding a creative partner is really hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I'm always so jealous of people who have found their partner because it's like your married partner, you know, your partner in comedy and your partner in this industry.
You know, I mean, the show, going back to Expressing Motherhood, this community that Lindsay has created has created that kind of village for so many moms in Los Angeles and now across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when you do one of these shows and you become friends with these ladies backstage, you are meeting them as women, as artists, and not as the mom. And then you're like, oh, but we have this incredible thing in common, too. Mm-hmm. We're all moms, and where does that take us? Yeah. So we're so thankful for that introduction.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, literally, Lindsay Cavett changed the direction of my life, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Because she gave us an opportunity to get back to doing what we were doing before we became moms in the beginning, which is I was a comedian. You know?
Oh, yeah, I'm like, what was that again? Yeah, there are days when I'm like, what did I do?
And I had forgotten that I actually had skills that weren't, you know, laundry related.
I know. There are days when
I can wash some clothes, man. Don't even get me started.
With the best of them.
I'm so good at folding clothes.
Now, you did, and I read a lot about your stand-up background, and because you've performed all over New York and LA. Did you travel to doing...
Yeah, I did a couple of comedy festivals. I did the Calgary International Comedy Festival, Boston Comedy Festival. And, you know, I got started in the 90s, like 96. And most...
Post-Seinfeld explosion.
It was kind of when Seinfeld was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny when you start out, you don't quite know who you are and quite, you know, what you're saying. And it takes a good 10 years to figure that out. And so the minute I kind of found my voice and found the storyline of what I wanted to talk about on stage is when I got pregnant with my first son.
Oh, wow.
So the last thing that I wrote was something called Tales from the Gymboree, which was my experience working at a West Side Gymboree in LA, which was full of Beverly Hills moms. Yeah. I was not a mom yet. I knew nothing about it. And I just I watched this world unfold before me, and I thought, this is ridiculous.
Was
I've never
it terrible?
Seen like,
I'm just it imagining terrible, it in my mind that it was just the hilarious. Worst.
No, it wasn't terrible, but it was shocking. The length some of these women would go to compete in the baby
field. At Gymboree?
Like, at Gymboree. It's like, my one-year-old is speaking French. I'm like, is he any good at it? And they're like, well, we don't know because we don't speak French, but I'm pretty sure he's getting it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, but it was just so funny. And I thought, oh, this
that
is
still
such
happens.
Great. So literally the minute I wrote this thing, I got pregnant with my first son and then I got lost in motherhood and I stopped. Like just didn't go up. Didn't ever do it again until
was
Lindsay
it a fear? Do you think you got a
no,
scared?
It was literally I had to be home taking care of my children because the responsibility factor was so heavy on me that I thought I cannot leave them. I had no help. My husband worked thousands of hours a week and there was literally no one else. I have no family by. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, this is my responsibility. Then I had a second son and I was like, well, I guess this is
it. This wrapping is it up, throwing in the towel.
This is my prison sentence. No, I'm joking. No, they're great. But, you know, it's really easy to get lost in.
I'm fascinated by stand-up comedians who are moms and it's also part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast is there is not a lot of comedians who are also moms.
Right.
For that very reason that you just said. Mm-hmm. Also, too, there's traveling all over the country that you do. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, like, build up your audience and get people to know you and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And it's hard to leave your babies behind. Mm-hmm. And I watched a documentary where it was all female stand-ups talking about, in one part, they were talking about how men have it so much easier in comedy because the wife stays home with the kids.
Right. Yeah.
But when it's the woman who's the comedian, the husband also, you know, has a full-time job. So there's nobody there to watch the kids. And you sort of feel this like maternal tug that, not to like slide on dads or anything, but that dads generally don't feel when they're out on the road. They're like, I'm just doing my job. I go home to my family. Yeah. It's what it is. Yeah. But I'm fascinated with moms who are able to do both. Because it, to me, that seems like the ultimate, like, I'm going after my dream, mm-hmm. but I still want to have a family mm-hmm. and be a mom. And that's so hard to do. Yeah.
It's really challenging. Yeah. I mean, like, when we first started doing our summer tour, which this year will be our third year, we were like, okay, well, where should we go? We should go to a place where our family lives so we can take the kids with us. They can visit the grandparents and the grandparents can help us out.
Yeah.
And watch
How
the
was
children.
That? Did that work out?
It's working great. We still do it.
Are you still doing it? Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. We take our kids. Stacy's family lives in Texas. And so we start in Texas. We do shows in Houston and Austin mm-hmm. and the border town of Harlingen. We go to Kentucky, which is where my family is. We do Louisville. Then we just take a short road trip to Nashville, just a few hours away. Yeah. And then we're like, well, we'll just go 4 more hours and go to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it all kinds of works out. So we have some dedicated help. The kids get to see the grandparents. The mm-hmm. grandparents get to see their grandkids. Mm-hmm. And we get to still do what we do. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly difficult to juggle. Mm-hmm. There are so many pieces. And that, like, we're mm-hmm. in that right now because we leave next Tuesday for this summer tour.
Do you guys just get in a big, like, RV?
No, but that does sound like fun.
A minivan.
Oh,
it's true.
We just fly down there and get a minivan because not only are we traveling, but mm-hmm. we also employ a 3-piece band called the Assless Chaps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they are great human beings, and we're so lucky that we have their talent and their time because they're geniuses.
Mm-hmm. And they're dads. 2 of them are dads out of 3.
But we also have an upright bass to carry and a keyboard to carry and
microphone equipment.
And it's so funny, like, when you see us packing up for what we do, I mean, we're just telling jokes and singing songs, but there's so much more involved
because it's you guys have a production.
We are the tour managers. It's mm-hmm. Mommy Tonk is right here. Like, it's the 2 of us. We mm-hmm. do the marketing. Mm-hmm. We manage the tour. Mm-hmm. We book all the hotels. Mm-hmm. We book all the mm-hmm. venues. We do all the coordination with sound guys, mm-hmm. sound checks. We pay our band. We give them per diem. We make sure everyone eats. We make sure everyone has a place to sleep.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, it is. We would like that to be different. We would like a booking manager and a tour director.
I mean, really, the future of Mommy Tong is going to require a few more hands to help because right now we're losing our minds. However. Yeah. The joy we get from it
is
so worth the effort, and it does exhaust us. But
the minute we walk on stage, though, we're like, all right, well, this is why we did it, and here we go. Let's have a fun night.
So how did the origins of your songs begin? Did you just start sort of...
You tell it.
Did you guys just sort of start noodling around? Because I love the idea. Like, I hum to myself, like, ridiculously inappropriate songs. They're not... They don't have a country bent, necessarily, mm-hmm. but I love that that's sort of what you guys do. How did that come about? Please tell me you were drunk one night.
It actually came about pretty organically. Like, Stacy and I discovered pretty soon after meeting that we'd both kind of been doing this all along. Mm-hmm. So my background is from Second City, and I used to do the character monologue shows there. And for some reason, I was like, well, I'm going to sing a song in this character. So I would create some kind of character that had some really dark issue going on, and I would write a song about it, and it was a really dark song that I would try to make funny, and hopefully it came across funny. So that was kind of my thing. And Stacy has always been a singer, and when she started doing her Gymboree set and other sets and shows that we created, she was singing some a cappella lullabies about one is called Daddy Makes 6 Figures, but we're still 4. I mean, we're still poor. Mm-hmm. Take that back. Wait, Daddy Makes 6 Figures, but we're still poor.
Only in L.A.
And it was seriously, it was such a beautiful tune in this beautiful, like, soprano voice that she has. But it was singing about the fact that, oh, my God, here we are. We can't do anything with all this money.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. So we're working on the show back then, and we discovered that we both could sing. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, why don't we write some songs for and submit them to the next Expressing Motherhood show, and let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. So we kind of talked about what was going on in our life. My life, I was really frustrated at the time at my husband, who's an awesome man, by the way. I'm going to put that out there. He's the best. He's the best. I love you, baby.
Love you.
But I was noticing that I felt like I was doing everything. I'm like, you're watching TV. You're catching up on soccer highlights from around the world. And I'm doing the dishes. I've made the lunches. I'm wiping somebody's butt. I'm picking up Legos. I'm losing my mind. So I dedicated the next few days to writing this song about how I need him to do some things. And how am I going to get this across? And our therapist was like, you need to tell your husband what it is you need from him. So I wrote a song telling my husband what it is I need from him. Stacey, I don't want to take you.
You don't want to tell her what the song is?
Your song? Oh, my song. It's called Love Song for Husband. But the subtitle is Get Off Your Ass, You Fucking Asshole.
You don't have to whisper that part. You can just let
get off your ass.
It's so genius, too.
I swear lots on this
show.
So
that was the first song that I wrote for us. And then
I'll write a love song for my husband.
Right.
And my issue at the time was my husband, he's an ad man, and he was at the time working for a company that I guess forgot that he had a wife and children, or they didn't care that he had a wife and children.
Yeah.
But something was going down, and I was not happy about it because he just never walked through the front door. I'm like, are you ever going to come home and hold your baby? Because I seriously am losing my mind because
my
second was not an easy baby to have. And out of that frustration, I also felt really lonely because we had just moved into a new house. I didn't know anyone. And here I was with these two children and a husband I never saw, but I missed because I love him so much. Like so much. But then our pool guy would come by and be in the pool and he would take his shirt off because it's
like,
hot.
Hey, buddy.
You can't blame a guy for working with no shirt.
I've seen him.
Hot.
He is totally hot.
So then I was like, shit, if you're not going to come home and do the deed, do you mind if I do the deed with a pool guy? Because he's coming around a couple times a week. Anyway, long story short, I thought, I think I can find some humor in this. So I wrote a really sincere song about how much I really love my husband and I really miss him and how he's completely missing out on our children's lives. But that if he really is seriously not going to ever come back through the door, would he mind if I just fuck our pool guy? Right. And so it got his attention. Mm-hmm. And after I started singing this for a few months.
Did you sing it to him?
I told him, would you like to hear this piece that's pretty raw before I do it on stage in front of, 200 people? And he said, no, I trust you. I've been watching your comedy for years.
Oh, that's amazing.
You might want to hear it because it cuts pretty close to the bone here. And he said, no, I trust you. You'll be fine. And I said, okay. So I was nervous. I've never been nervous on stage. Never doing comedy.
Because this was so personal?
Because it was so personal. Mm-hmm. It was so in the moment. It was so, this is literally
raw
happening
emotion.
Right now in my life. And he's out there, and I sing this song, which starts out sounding like a sad song. Mm-hmm. But then it breaks into the comedy, and people are like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. And I saw him laugh, and he got that I was just, like, working through frustration but using humor to do it. Well, since that song has been written and sung several times, he then quit the job.
Oh, wow.
He left the job.
Wow.
He got a job closer to home.
Got a job much closer to home. And we got a new pool guy. It was weird. All things happened at the same
time. We've learned, like, these songs are so cathartic and therapeutic, not only for us, but literally for our marriages. And, like, obviously we're fictionalizing a lot of it. But the root of the matter is definitely personal. Yeah. And that's why we think it works.
Yeah.
Because we're telling the truth. And if it's our truth and it's someone else's truth, and if we can connect with someone while we're on stage to a truth that they're having and we can make them laugh at it or have just a moment of feeling like they're not alone, then that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Let's just laugh at it. Let's get through it. We love our husbands. We love our kids.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not about like leaving our husbands and all of that. Although if people need to, we totally support that. But we need to do this.
I love
whatever.
That you put that caveat on there.
I mean, if you do,
judgment. No. But if you leave your husband, you have problems.
No.
So, okay.
We have a divorce song.
It's called We Believe in True Love, but we believe in divorce too. So you can think.
So I need to hear one of these songs
Let's
now.
Let's stay together forever until we're not
until
together.
We're not together.
We've been talking about these songs. So now this is super cool for me because, first musical group. I want to hear you guys. So whatever song you'd like to sing.
Okay.
And you can feel free if you want to pick up the microphone, like pop it out or hold it, whatever's easier for you. You can do that. We're not fancy. There you go.
You know, we have a lot of different topics we write about. A quick little song that we like is.
Do you want to do the short version of a love song for a husband and then do a gift?
Oh,
what do you think?
Okay.
I mean, it's so
funny. We'll do the short version?
Yeah.
Whoa, hello.
Whoa, hey.
Yeah, well, okay, so we'll sing a little short. Is this okay?
Totally.
Short version of the love song that we were talking about for my husband.
Okay. So here's the love song from the Mommy Tonka ladies.
You might have to bleep some of it out.
No way. We swear crazy on my show.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Okay, girl. So, you know, my therapist suggested that I tell my husband what it is I need from him and I should write it down because men like lists, apparently. And so I was like, all right, this is what I need from my husband. I'm going to tell him in song. Mm-hmm. Get off your ass, you fucking asshole, you motherfucking asshole. Your mother doesn't live here anymore. Oh, did you want a sticker for taking out the trash? Well, let me tell you what I did while you were on your ass. I know that sports highlights are awesome and that Conan takes the cake, but if you don't turn off that TV, I swear to God I'll take every one of those remotes and I will burn them at the stake. You'll have to buy some more with all the money you don't make. So do yourself a favor and get off your ass, you fucking asshole, you motherfucking asshole. This is not your bachelor pad from way back when. Did you want a sticker for wiping off the table? Well, let me tell you what I did while you were watching cable. I made appointments with their doctors, filled out forms for their preschools, moved some junk from our garage, and organized the tools.
Oh, that is a man's job.
Damn straight it is. You know what else I did?
What'd you do,
girl?
I'll
tell you. I changed the light bulb on the front porch, organized the linen closet. Sweetheart, the baby's crying. Maybe you could pause it. So anyway, well, it goes on and on. That's a sample of the love song.
Let's do one more. Let's do the gift.
Yeah. Like as you're singing, I'm slowly creeping my mic closer so I can make sure I hear your guitar.
Oh, okay, good idea.
If you notice me doing that. All right.
Oh yeah.
What's this one?
This one is a song. Whoop.
What can I do to help?
We're breaking it.
No, we got it. All right.
Breaking up the show.
Do you want me to sit closer to you?
I've done that before. No, pulled okay. It too hard.
Oh, Stacy.
Just saying.
When you pull it too hard, sometimes it's a good thing.
I think
sometimes
I want it now.
He's like shocked. He's like, whoa! Well, you caught me by surprise there.
No, I just had it too tight. Well, that happens
once
too.
Again, sometimes it's not a bad thing. All right, listen. We're going to stop talking about that.
Live.
As you know, I've been a mom now for 11 years, and I've got a couple of kids. Shan's got a couple of kids, and one thing you get to do as a mother is you get to go to a lot of children's concerts at the school, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're a beautiful experience. There's just one element we feel is missing is that at the end of the concert, you know, we hear a lot from the children, but we never get to hear from the moms. And I just think it would be nice and respectful if they open up the mic at the end of the night and let the moms come up and sing to the children about how much we love them. And so if they ever give us this time, we have a song prepared for the children from the moms. And it goes like this.
56 hours of labor and a ripped vagina too. Kicked out of preschool, gymboree and swim class too. What did you give me for this life that I gave you? Head lice and a virus.
Oh.
Head lice and a virus. Head lice and a virus. Fuck you.
Seriously, fuck you.
You guys, I told you they are so much fun and their music is hysterical and there's even more to come, but I want to take a break just to tell you a little bit more about Up4, Motherhood in Hollywood sponsor. Thank you so much to Up4 for sponsoring our podcast. If you guys get a second, go right now to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 probiotics link. That will take you right to Up4 probiotics where you can find out more about their super strain of probiotics. Up4 has been manufacturing probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. That's 40 years of clinical research and award-winning probiotics. I don't know about you, but I like to go with companies that have won awards and also have science behind them. Sounds pretty good, especially if you're putting something in your body or in your kid's body, right? They have kids cubes available. They also have an adult formula, women's formula. Go to Motherhood in Hollywood right now. Click on the Up4 Probiotics link to find out which probiotic formula is the right one for you. You can also find them in your local Target store. Next time you're out shopping for Target for shirts you don't need, go head up to the vitamin and supplement section and look for Up4 Probiotics, creating a healthier inside since 1979.
If we do sing that at the PTA meeting, they're never going to ask us to volunteer.
So really, it's too, you know.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win.
Oh my gosh. So when you guys, let me pull my mic closer again. When you guys get together to collaborate on song ideas and writing and things like that, who generally takes the lead in writing? Does anybody take the lead, or do you guys both come in with, hey, I wrote this song, or I've got this?
Yeah, we just come to the table and go, oh, this is driving me crazy. Let's write a song about it. And it's great because we could say, I like that, like the sound of this song, like something that exists in the world. Like, I like that sound. And so Shannon is a magician because she's like, oh, I love that. Hold on a second. And then she'll just completely come up with a tune that's totally original, that's in the vein of what we've heard, but it's totally new.
Stacey is very nice. I know three chords on the guitar, and somehow we together make it work into a song.
What is it about country, though? Like, you guys got the little honky-tonk going on. What is it about that? Is it because where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Kentucky, and definitely we're both influenced by old classic country.
Yeah, it's just in your bones. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know that anybody goes to a conservatory school to learn this. Like, you have to have a little country in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as much as I try to suppress it, it comes out.
God, we love it. And I'm telling you what, but this time next week, we're going to be talking like this.
And we're going
to be in the Deep South.
You can't help it. Like, I'm from Oklahoma, and everybody's always a little surprised. They're like, oh, you know, you don't have an accent. And I'm like, well, wait till I get on the phone with my mom.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, Mom, oh my God. And it's just like, who is this? Or when I'm drinking a little bit.
Yeah, You give me salsa and chips and you're going to hear some twang.
We're going to be doing a lot of y'all.
But as far as the lyrics go and the ideas and the concepts, we will just sit at a table and go, look, this is what I think would make a funny concept for a song. And then we'll just jot down some words. And then it's just like, you know, when you have a really close friendship and you finish each other's sentences, that's how it is. The lyrics, it's like, oh, yes. And this is where it goes. And this rhymes. And this is the topper. And this is the punchline. Right. And when it happens, it's magic and it happens really easily. You cannot force it. You cannot sit down and say, we're going to write a song today. It just has to come out of you at the time that it's ready to come out of you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll just sit with those ideas. We'll take the guitar. We'll start strumming one of the three chords that I know. We'll put it in a different combination than another song we've written. And we'll just kind of start riffing. It's very much an improv. I mean, we both have a lot of background in improv and sketch. So we'll just start riffing. We'll start singing. And we like to rhyme. That's also in our bones. And we'll just write down a ton of lyrics. And then we'll cut it later. And we just get it all out. And then we go back and trim it down.
And how many songs have you guys written so far?
We've got at least 20.
We should know this.
Yeah.
At least 20.
Have you put it in album form?
Like, no. But we're waiting for somebody with a checkbook to help us with that.
We have recorded a lot. And we are working on that.
Have you thought about Kickstarter?
Like, you know what we have? We have, and we've chosen not to go that route.
Why?
Well, we have. I don't know that we've made that decision.
Well, the thing is, it's a lot to manage, and at this time, you can't manage a tour and a Kickstarter. You know, it's a project that needs a lot of dedicated time. And when we have the time to focus on it, I think it's a great avenue.
Are you talking about
that.
Specifically the album or crowdfunding?
Or crowdfunding,
okay,
and the album, really both. But honestly, both of our days are so full right now and just trying to get this tour pulled off that like to take on another project, we wouldn't be able to do it to the best of our ability until we have the time to dedicate.
I just realized I said you guys are the first musician, but actually a couple months ago, my friend Lolly, who is a professional vibraphonist, came on the show, but she didn't bring her vibraphone.
Is that the theremin?
Well, I didn't bring my vibraphone either. I was like, I should leave this in the dresser drawer.
It's huge.
That is a cool instrument. Okay.
I never take it out.
It's like
the
xylophone, but
what's Lolly's last name?
Allen.
Okay.
She's one of the top female vibraphonists in the world.
I'm sorry, but I can't.
Isn't that funny? You guys are all thinking of vibrators.
I know.
What?
I know.
Imagine I was.
No, I have a vibraphone in my dresser drawer next to my bed.
It's a tiny one.
But she crowdfunded her album. And it was amazing. You guys are crazy.
No, you know what? We definitely are going to think about that. We have recorded a lot of music and we have started. We actually have started to work on an album. But
you have a fan base, though, I think.
We do. And we have a couple songs on iTunes that we recorded many years ago. So they're old versions of it. They're still available. People still every once in a while will download it. And
how are you guys being received? Because I know you both said that, I know you guys both have sketch comedy background. Groundlings and Second City. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
How are you being received by the kids in terms of the young hipsters when you go out and perform? Or is it literally just, your audiences, moms, dads,
We assumed that our audiences were going to be primarily women who were mothers.
Right.
And every once in a while, some kid in his 20s or a late teenager or somebody will be in the audience. And they are the ones that are the most enthusiastic after the show.
What?
They're like,
it's
what?
Such a trip.
They're like,
I love
that. Is that what my mom is thinking? I'm like, yes, this is what your mom has been thinking the whole time. And it's a surprise to them and it's a surprise to us.
We love it.
But we do resonate with younger crowds. But I mean, obviously, primarily, we're looking at parents. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Because yeah. I think I'm noticing a lot about what's happening right now with moms who are creating, you know, whether it's YouTube videos or music. They're seeing an overall acceptance, not just from the mom community, because I feel like sometimes moms we're a little harder on each other, like a little more judgy. Well, I would never say that
right.
to my husband. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you probably get a yeah. lot of moms who are like, this is offensive.
We have had a couple of people who have been like, whoa, this is a bit much, yeah, but yeah. that's
the truth is, though, they're
one
thinking
dude.
It.
Yeah.
The truth is, they're thinking it.
They're thinking
they're
it.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, this is what I've been thinking, and I can't or won't allow myself to say it. So deep down, I think they're like, thank you for saying it. So yeah. I didn't have to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think is great about what you guys are doing is it's resonating with people and it's making them laugh.
Yeah.
Which is so hard to do in comedy and for moms. I mean, honestly, I could sit here till I'm blue in the face and be like, poop, diapers, you know, potty
right,
training,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's some people are like, we've already heard all that.
Yeah.
I have to do this because, you know, you're talking about the young people. And we actually have a song that we wrote for young people. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to, I think we
you
need
know,
to play
just
a little snippet.
This is the young people song?
This is the young people song.
Okay.
Because we meet women all the time, young girls that are like, oh, you're married, you have babies. I want to be married. I want to have babies. I'm like, you really, okay. So we just look at them and say, God, can I just give you a couple of thoughts before you make that leap? And here's what we want to say to the young ladies.
We used to be you wild and free. Here's some advice if you listen to me. Drink it up, smoke it up, fuck everything in sight. Music and laughs, a beer and a smoke. A one-night stand, maybe some coke. Don't waste your life not doing coke. There's no second chance, you're at your peak. You only get one shot, so be a freak. Drinking, rocking, laughing, fucking. You are single and free. But one day you'll be me. And you don't want to be me.
No, you don't.
That's just a little short version of that. But we'd like to open with that in case there are any youngins in there.
And
they know
the
right off the bat what we're about.
Mm-hmm. So they can immediately connect with you and go, all right, I get you.
All right, let's go.
I know where
to
you're
the
coming
bar.
From. Yeah. About how many songs do you usually sing in your shows? Like how long is it, like an hour or so?
We do a 90-minute show with the three-piece band called the Assless Chaps.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we do roughly 13 or 14
songs. 14
songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we put stand up and monologues and funny storytelling mm-hmm. kind of woven between the.
We also have these guys that follow us around. Their names are, they call themselves Daddy Tonk.
Yeah.
And they're like these ZZ Top looking dudes. They will not leave us alone.
No, they like, show up at every show and we cannot, we've asked them to stop.
We have, but at the same time, we give them a little stage time and they have these two songs.
They're tenacious.
They're very tenacious. They won't stop.
So we're like, all right, guys, come on up here. You want to sing a song?
But the thing is, the first song they ever sang at one of our shows was called Women Ain't Funny. And they're these redneck dudes and they're like, women ain't funny.
Well, we know the song, right?
Yeah,
you
we do know
it?
The song. Yeah, we do know the song.
Do you want to give your competition props though? We should like.
That's true.
F
that's true.
Guys.
That's
but
true.
But you can. Well, you can't. Are they real or is it you guys that dress up like men?
What?
No.
They're these dudes.
They're totally real alter egos of ours.
All right, let's hear what Daddy Tonk sounds
like. Daddy Tonk would sing something like this.
Women ain't funny.
Women ain't funny.
Nah, women ain't funny.
Nah, women ain't funny.
I tell you once, only a man knows how to tell a joke, cause women ain't funny.
Women ain't funny.
Nah, women ain't funny.
Nah, women ain't funny.
Ain't no woman ever made me laugh out loud.
Not
try to be on stage unless they're dancing in a cage. Girl, I got some needs that only you can meet. And honey, I got this casserole and it ain't gonna cook itself.
So
Girl, put it on this get fit. What? Girl, put down that get fiddle and put. No, no, shit. Girl, put on this apron and put that get fiddle on the shelf. Cause women ain't funny. Now women ain't funny.
Now women ain't funny.
I told you once, only a man knows how to tell a joke. Cause women ain't funny.
Women ain't funny.
Now women ain't funny.
Now women ain't funny.
Ain't no woman ever made me laugh out loud.
Something like that is what those dudes do.
Those guys like, sound amazing.
They're awesome.
They sound really well rehearsed.
Yeah, exactly. They're really, really sharp.
Oh my gosh, you guys seem like you have so much fun.
We do.
I have been remiss and missed your LA shows because I always either have to go to work or sleep.
We totally understand.
I'm impressed.
Sleep?
Yeah, what's that? I'm impressed that you guys leave the house regularly and go and still do something creative. Like, I've been wanting to get back into sketch or improv and... It's like either that or I can just stay at home and watch Game of Thrones and, you know.
Yeah. And do this amazing podcast.
Yeah. And do listening. This amazing podcast.
It's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah, my husband reminds me because I'm always like, I don't do anything. And he's like, are you crazy?
Look what you're doing right now.
I know. I forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I do that. But see, but this is so much fun to me. Like, I know the music is for you guys. This is so much fun to me because there's no other way I could get people to come to my house and talk to me about the awesome things they're doing if I didn't go, come on, come be in my podcast.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So tell me a little bit more then. You've got your tour coming up. You're doing, what, 8 to 10 dates? Or
we're doing six cities.
Six
starting
cities.
Starting on July 6th in Austin, Texas at the Mohawk. We're doing July 7th in Houston, Texas at the Music Box Theater. Mm-hmm. July 8th, we're at a place called Coletti's in Harlingen, Texas.
Ooh.
And then we go over to Louisville, Kentucky on July the 12th.
And we're at the Laughing Derby there. And then the next night, July 13th, we're in Nashville at Zany's Comedy Club. And then July 14th, which is a Thursday night, we're in Atlanta at a place called the Highland Inn Ballroom Lounge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all of the shows, it'll be us and our band, the Assless Chaps, except in Louisville, we play with a local band there called the Porch Possums, and they're and then we'll come back in August, and we will be booking some LA shows for September.
Good.
Yeah, so
and we are
come.
Currently looking for sponsors, and we have two sponsors that are dream sponsors.
They're so boozy sponsors, right?
Yeah, totally.
Tito's Vodka is a brand we're really passionate about.
Bullet Bourbon.
Yeah.
So Bullet either Bourbon. One of those.
Oh, I love
we,
it.
We would totally.
There's also a product called Pro Bolts.
It's a gummy bear for moms on the run, and it's made with yerba mate and B12.
So what does it do? Does it give you energy?
Yes.
Make you poop or what?
No.
Oh, I don't know why. I went to the poop. I don't know why.
It's always about poop with your mom.
It's always about poop.
It's literally little energy
and vitamins, basically. But if you really want to know what powers our tour and our work, it's Tito's Vodka,
Bullet,
which brings us down, right. And then Pro Bolts, which brings us back up again.
That's hilarious.
It's too tough. It's Xanax.
Yeah. No.
So you guys, if anybody's listening out there, sponsor Mommy Talks, just send them money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to set up a crowdsourcing thing yet.
You just want to take the cash
but just
that you want to give
just
us.
Send them
money. We will drink on stage with your product.
We will.
Don't
you know
worry.
What? We are good with product demo if we're talking about
Tito's.
We
will do some demos live on stage in every city. Tito's, Makers, Bullet.
Whatever. All of it. Oh, and a little Makers in there too.
Oh.
I have another podcast that I do called Booze and Phasers.
Are you serious?
I do. And it's all Star Trek related. It's me and two other women who are big Star Trek nerds.
Awesome.
And it's us. We just make a Star Trek themed cocktail for the show and we just get lit and then talk about Star Trek.
Oh my God.
It's
I
so
hilarious.
Nerdy.
Love that.
I need to introduce her to Christina
it's
Lee.
It's so nerdy, but it's like the best. And we have a sponsor too, Devotion Vodka. And I'm just like, I love vodka. Like
Devotion Vodka.
Yeah, it's really, it's like,
is it biblical?
Maybe.
No,
is
but
it
it's
the vodka
it looks
Christians?
Very like gothic, like kind of looking.
I
like,
see.
You know, like weird
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But it's so I totally am all for getting boozy sponsors.
Boozy
I support
the boozy
that.
Sponsor tour.
The boozy sponsor tour. I am really excited to see what happens next with you guys. I think, and I want you to put your album together.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know that there is a lot of women and men who would want to buy it.
Yeah.
And
Thank
I think
you.
I think you have an audience for it for sure.
I also, when you're talking about Lindsay with Expressing Motherhood, I wrote something for the next Expressing Motherhood show, and then I didn't send it.
What?
I was like, I hate it. It's so bad. I'm so embarrassed. Because now that I know Lindsay and we're friends.
Will you
do it for us right now? No. Oh, no way. All right. I may have even like just been like, get this shit off my computer. It's so terrible.
No, don't.
But I didn't. I messaged her, and I was like, I'm going to send something. And then I didn't. And then I messaged her back, and I was like, I know you probably got like 1,000 submissions, but I didn't send mine because I hated it. But I encouraged all my friends to do it because I think it's such a wonderful thing. And I think it's amazing that you guys met that way and look what's come out of it. Mm-hmm. Like years of being able to combine what you love to do and making people laugh and music and also with your family life. I mean, I think that's amazing. And I'm really jealous that you guys are best friends. I'm still dating.
It's still like a marriage.
I'm still dating for my mom bestie. My friend Amy always says, "Oh, you'll meet your mom wife in, you know, your mom wife, you know, in elementary school or whatever when your daughter starts school." And she's in preschool now, and all the moms I met, no preschool moms listen to my show. So, but all the ones I met, just weird. Just weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, just we can't be friends.
It's hard. I think those years can be kind of hard too.
Like they were the worst. The preschool years for me were the worst because everyone is trying to suss out who's what type.
Right.
And it's so hard because you're like, I don't know what type of mom I am
yet.
Because I've never been a mom before. A lot of these moms, they haven't defined themselves as their character type yet because they're still figuring out who this little person has now transformed them to be. And I became a nightmare when my kids were in preschool.
Really?
If anybody knew
Were you just like really intense mom or?
Well, I wasn't sleeping. My baby had acid reflux. So anytime you laid him down, he was in excruciating pain and screamed and cried 24/7. So I had to either hold him or nurse him for the first like year and a half, and I had no help. And I was just sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And that makes you a monster. Yeah. And also I was trying to be the perfect mom and do it right.
Yeah.
You know, which as we all know is impossible.
I do think it's important to find some kind of mom village, you know, some kind of group of moms that you can like vent to and that have kids around your same age so they understand. Because those early years up to through preschool, you're still like wiping, changing diapers sometimes. You're still like, no one can put their shoes on. Mm-hmm. No one knows how to put their own clothes on yet. You have to feed. Like, there's so much responsibility.
And that's just your husband.
I know. And then there's the kids.
You look at your kids.
Right.
I'm kidding.
I was watching, Chan has this cute, there's this adorable little boy in her preschool, and he's so funny. He looks like he's the goofy guy. He's gonna be the goofy guy that gets when he's older. You can just sort of tell at this age. And the other day he was like putting on his shirt and he goes, "Look, Channing, I'm putting on my shirt." And he's so proud of himself. And Channing goes, "My mommy puts on my shirt." And I was like, all right, now we need to start putting on your damn shirt. Like, and I realized, and I started picking up on the fact that, I do all of this stuff for her, and she needs to really start learning to do this stuff for herself. Mm-hmm. And she got so mad the other day because I made her put her own socks on, and she was just like, no! And I thought, all right, this has gone too far.
Yeah.
It's gone too far.
It's hard to let
But you
go.
Don't know until you're like, I think it was almost like a light bulb. Like, now's the time when she needs to start doing more things for herself. Because you're so in the in the shit of like doing everything for them.
Well,
and
it takes so damn long for them to put their own shoes
yes,
on.
Yes,
like,
that's
give
true.
Give me your shoe and put your shoe on.
It's true. It does take a really long time.
You'll learn how to tie.
And eating. Eating takes forever.
Oh, Lord.
She will eat. It'll take an hour to eat a
you
sandwich.
You feed your baby.
Huh?
You feed him.
Oh, sometimes.
I should look into
that.
Stacey,
don't tell that on the radio.
CVS.
CVS doesn't give a shit. They're like, we don't care if you feed
the kids.
Child
Protective Services.
I do feed my children CPS. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I want to hear one more song if you guys are up for it before you go. You can pick Dealer's Choice. What's one of your favorite, like, crowd pleasers or that you, or honestly, like, which ones do you guys like?
Mom crush for her before.
Yeah.
PTA?
Oh, yeah.
PTA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, PTA.
So, you know, we both have kids in public school, and one thing it's just so apparent that the public schools are broke, and there's a crisis going on there, and they need money, you know? And they've been doing fundraising the old-fashioned way for a long time. And we would like to offer up a suggestion on how to modernize the fundraising that the PTA does. So we have some suggestions from them, and they go like this.
Well, it seems like every other day my kid's school asks me for dough. Now I totally get why they need it. And I say yes, but I'd rather say no. They sell me chocolate cakes and pizza ice cream and homemade cookies. Magazines, my own kids' art. Aw, hell, they must be rookies. Look, if you want your public school to have plenty of the public's money, you better get with the times, my friend. Listen up, pay attention, honey. Now, we don't mind giving you cash, but don't sell us crap that we don't need. If you want us to buy it, we'll tell you what to do. Sell us booze and weed. That's right. Booze and weed. Weed and booze. Sell us something that we need. Sell us something we can use. Now, I don't know a single soul who wants a damn homemade muffin. But if you're offering me that joint right there, well, here's a 10, and we can start a puffin'. Ain't nobody gonna complain. No, ain't nobody gonna be a squealer. Hell, the whole damn town already knows your son's my favorite dealer. Yes, he is. Booze and weed. Weed and booze. Sell us something that we need. Sell us something we can use. Now, there ain't no doubt what's gonna fetch the highest bid at your silent auction. Well, it's a dime bag or a pre-roll, maybe an alcoholic concoction. Now, usually I
buy my goods
at the local pharmaceutical dispensary. But let's face it, it'd be more convenient during drop-off at my son's elementary. Yes, it would. Booze and weed. Weed and booze. Sell us something that we need. Sell us something we can use. Now we know that the PTA struggles, and ladies, we're just here to help you reach your goal. So get rid of that crap you're pushing, and push me something that'll pack my bowl. Booze and weed. Weed and booze. Sell us something that we need. Sell us something we can use.
It's high time you did.
I love that you guys seem to be you have so much fun with every song that you're singing.
We do.
I love it so much. Yeah. Everybody, if you get a chance to go to one of the cities, do you guys, you're of mommytonk.com, right?
Yes, that's right.
Check out the locations where they might be, if they might be coming to your city near you. If you're in LA, which most of my audience is, there are maybe tour dates in September, maybe shows in September.
Yeah. We'll be posting those soon. Okay. Everything's on our Facebook page. We have Instagram, Twitter, and website, of course, www.mommytonk.com. And everything else is at mommytonk.
Yay. And people, can they buy the songs on iTunes?
There are a couple songs on iTunes, but they're older versions. Definitely Love Song is on there, and a song that we do called Farm Box, which is a brilliant song by Stacey about starting to get one of those CSA farm boxes and then not knowing what the hell to do with it. So those two songs are available. Like I said, they're older versions.
Yeah.
They're still great. I mean, we love the songs. We stand by them. But they have developed and evolved since we recorded those. So we expect actually to have an album by mid-year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mid-year next year?
No, like December.
By Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
By Christmas. A Christmas album.
Yep.
It's the Mommy Tonk Christmas album.
Oh, I'm just picturing an album cover with lots of booze.
And
like
Christmas.
Empty, bourbon bottles and stuff around you and a tree.
And a bow. And a bow.
And a bow.
Just the bow.
Just the bow. Just the bow.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming on the show.
Thank you,
and
Heather.
You guys, I'm going to put up a lot of information as well about you guys on motherhoodandhollywood.com and
you.
Links to your websites. And do you have YouTube videos, too?
We
Any
do.
Videos?
Well, we have a YouTube page. Right now, our YouTube page is is quiet, and we've had to put our videos on hold because we're actually working with a production company
something
that we hope will take off in the next year. So we've had to take the videos down for now.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of snippets of videos all over our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. See, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like you guys have totally tapped into something here. That's what I was saying earlier is I think it's great that you've found your niche and you are just kicking ass and taking names because there's nothing else like Mommy Tonk out there.
No,
except maybe Daddy Tonk.
Yeah, right.
Except for those dudes.
You are right.
Those
douchebags. You know,
those D-bags.
I hope we've cornered the market here on filthy mom songs.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of moms that are doing videos now. Yeah. There's a lot of moms that are cropping up doing the little, you know, just
parodies and
mm-hmm. stuff like that. That's happening like them. Crazy. But there's nothing that's just music, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah. I think it's fantastic. And I definitely will put info up on Motherhood in Hollywood so people can find
you. Heather.
And you guys don't forget to follow Mommy Tonk. Find them on Facebook. Also on the Twitter and Instagram. And also you can find Motherhood in Hollywood as well at MIH Podcast on Twitter and then Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you again, ladies.
Thank you, Heather. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.